بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The barakat of the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just one sitting of the Sahaba ikram was quite sufficient to raise them to the position where no wali, no buzurg, no kutub, no abdal could reach. Just one sitting. They had the barakat of one sitting with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that one sitting brought them to the highest position of wilayat, of the friendship of Allah Ta'ala. With the passage of time, everything began to weaken. Things went like what they used to be originally. So in order to reach up to that same position, to make up for that weakness, then different structures were used, right? Like we see in day-to-day life, originally people were much stronger, right? They used themselves physically. They didn't require the type of machinery and the different type of technology that is in vogue today, right? They had that strength, they had that mental capacity, they had the strength to withstand. You hear of the king riding to Grahamstown 600 miles, approximately 900 kilometers alone in that zamana, 1700s, 1800s, all alone. He traveled, no roads proper. How he managed it? So people were strong at that time. They used themselves and they could manage this type of task in that zamana. But now, with the passage of time, all these things began to weaken down. And as things begin to weaken, Allah Ta'ala grants two things. One is He grants concessions, and Allah Ta'ala makes other means to facilitate life. One is He grants concession with weakness, and the second thing He means, He creates other structures to facilitate life. When there wasn't a need for it, then Allah Ta'ala did not inspire them towards the manufacturing of a motor car. Allah Ta'ala did not inspire electricity, etc. But when Allah Ta'ala had seen that now man is becoming weak, so He inspired them. Electric, motor car, motor vehicle, aeroplane, and all the different type of technology we know. So when man was strong, he didn't require this. Now he began to become weaker, so he required this. Now the cell phone. And what don't you get in that one cell phone? So much of technology in that small little piece. Everything you can think of is inside, stored up. So, by and large, it is in the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala that this is going to happen at this time. Man is just inspired to do it now like this. If it was his own, then he could have come up with this thousands of years ago. But there was no need for it at that time. Now there was the need. Now there is the need. So when there is that need now, Allah Ta'ala inspired the heart that invent this, do this, and don't do this. For example, to facilitate life now, if there is no machinery, then it's quite difficult. I don't say it's impossible, but it's going to become very, very difficult. Everything depends on energy, and energy is translated into oil, right? Now you tell me, the big hundreds of acres of land, you need to harvest that land, you need to cultivate that land. Without the use of machinery, is it practical nowadays? not practical. Then to transport all that grains, food, whatever other human requirements from one end of the world to the next end of the world, is it possible without the machinery and technology nowadays? Not possible. Right? So when Allah has seen that in that zamana, in that age, people could manage and they could accomplish their work, Allah Ta'ala did not inspire them. There was the need to secure the science of hadith, right? To preserve the science of hadith in its pristine purity. There mustn't be a single mistake, absolutely pure, clean. So Allah Ta'ala created a man like Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Now, such a memory that we can't even imagine in this day. In one sitting, he is tried out with approximately 100 hadith and 10 people. Each of them learn 10 hadiths and with the chain of narrators. But each one, in order to test Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he mixes up the entire hadith. Mixes it up, mixes the chain of narrators, the wording, the text, everything is mixed up. And these 10 people read the hadith all mixed up. They want to see if Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh can pick up the mistakes and make the corrections. So after the recitation of all these hadiths, Imam Bukhari says, La Adri, I don't know this. Then he says to the first person, you read the hadiths like this, with all the mistakes that he had read, in the chain of narrators, in the text, he shows them, this is how you read it, and this is the right version. The second person, this is how you read it, and this is the right version. Now show me one person who can show that type of memory in this day and time. Forget 100 hadiths, just 5 hadiths, with a chain of narrators, just mix up all the chain of narrators, the text and all that, and in one sitting ask him to preserve that and rectify it and give the correct version. One person, show me. It's quite impossible to find a person like that. So in that zamana there was a need for that. Allah Ta'ala created a person like Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh and the likes of Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Then there was the need to come up with fiqh and jurisprudence in a very organized, systematic order. Right? In a totally organized and systematic order, there was a need to come up with that. The likes of Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi are born, Allah Ta'ala inspires their hearts. And then, in the manner that they had perfected the science, that up to this day, when Orientalists and Western people, experts, when they study their books, they say, they are really fascinated that in that zamana, 1300 years ago, how come these people perfected the science? And how come they came up with such perfect solutions? How come? How is it possible? So when there was the need for it, then Allah Ta'ala created that type of geniuses, and these type of geniuses had come up with this type of works that will suffice humanity for many, many years, hundreds of years. So this is as far as the security and protection of deen. Then as far as facilitation of human life, Allah Ta'ala has seen that man can't manage it. With the structures that were 1300 years ago, man can't survive today. So Allah Ta'ala, for the ease of mankind, He has created the different structures. Right? Now, in all this, there is one important thing we need to understand. One is the preservation of the knowledge of Nubuwwat, right? That is the preservation of the knowledge that has been done already. So for anybody to contaminate, to pollute, to adulterate, to mix up any information is going to be very, very difficult. Extremely difficult to mix up anything. Everything is preserved, whether it is the smallest ruling in deen, the most complicated ruling in deen, everything has been preserved. So for anybody to come up and make any type of confusion and any type of adulteration, contamination in this works, in the knowledge of deen, then it's going to be very difficult. He can't do it. Don't you see that in the recitation of the Quran Sharif, if the best hafiz, old, best and most experienced hafiz, if he has to make a mistake, a small child will stand up and correct him. Abhisab, you're reading incorrectly. So to make any additions, any distortion in deen, in the knowledge of deen, it's going to be quite difficult. Right? But this is one aspect, this is just one aspect of deen, and that is the knowledge. Right? Then it is the true spirit of deen. That's a different thing altogether. One is the knowledge of deen, then the true spirit of deen. When we talk of the true spirit of deen, we talk of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the recognition of Allah ta'ala, the consciousness and awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, with the passage of time, like everything else can weaken down, then this aspect also can weaken down. Right? With the passage of time, everything else can weaken down, then this can also weaken down. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from then till this point, people are going for Hajj, right? People are making jihad. Al-jihadu madin ila yawmil qiyamah. The injunction, obligation of jihad is to continue till the day of Qiyamah. But now, in the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what was being used? Swords and arrows, spears, etc. This was the thing that was being used. Now tell me, in this age and time, can this obligation be executed with that type of weaponry? So now, as man will progress in weaponry, etc., then the people that are executing this obligation, they will also have to uplift themselves. They will also have to progress in that regards. What's the latest, and what do we do? This is something that they have come up with, and how do we combat it? How do we overcome it? This missile, and then how do we overcome that missile? And this type of a rocket launcher, and how do we overcome this? So they will have to do it. In order to execute that same obligation, it will be compulsory now to build that rocket launcher. Otherwise, you're not completing and fulfilling this obligation. وَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ. So you must prepare for them. Then only can you be able to fulfill this obligation. You didn't make the preparation to that level, then you're not executing that obligation. Otherwise, how are you going to do it? Tell me. Someone only learned horsemanship, only spears, arrows, and swords. Can he possibly execute this institution, this obligation of jihad? He can't do it. He will have to now see now what's the thing that is effective in this time. What's the most effective thing? He will come up with that, and then will he be able to execute this obligation of jihad. Similarly, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if someone had a zad and rahila, he had a conveyance, a horse or a camel, and he had some provision for the road that was sufficient for Hajj becoming compulsory for him. He's got a horse, a decent horse he's got, and he got sufficient provision to take him to Hajj and back. It was compulsory for him to go for Hajj. Now tell me, in this age, a person has got a horse and he's got sufficient food. Can he manage doing the obligation of Hajj? Can he do it? This day he can't do it. One person, I won't mention his name, he tried it from Cape Town. In everything he must have some freak. So he started off. As he came past Grahamstown, the SPCA caught him. Can't manage it. The horse wasn't in the shape. So you can't manage it. Now you will look that, are there any other structures through which this obligation is completed? You will look for that. So now you say, yes, there are structures. Allah Ta'ala had seen the weakness, so He's created alternate structures. There's the aeroplane, there is the other modes of transport whereby you can accomplish this task, this obligation. Now one will not be able to say, well, I have the money, but I don't have a horse to ride upon, and I don't have the horse, so therefore it will not be compulsory for me to undertake this safar. Or if I have the horse, I don't know how to manage the horse right to Makkah. I cannot manage the horse right to Makkah, so this obligation of Hajj falls away. Can a person say that today? He can't say it. See, the horse was just the means. The hadith speaks about rahila, a conveyance. That was just the means. You don't have that, it doesn't mean that this obligation falls away. Is there an alternate mean? Say, yes, there is an alternate mean. Now, you adopt that alternate mean and then you undertake this obligation. Otherwise, you'll be sinful. You won't now take it literally, I must have a horse. And I must know how to ride the horse and how to go through all right till from this point right till Makkah. Then only will I go and undertake this journey. You can't say that. You have to see that what was the message of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? What was the purport of the message of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? What was he conveying to us? He was conveying to us that can you make it through any other means? This mean or any other mean comfortably to Makkah and back? Can you do it? This was the whole mansha and the whole purport of the hadith. So you've got it, now it's compulsory. You can't say that no, I don't have this, so it's not compulsory. You cannot say I don't have a sword and I don't have a shield, I don't have an arrow, or I don't know how to practice it, so therefore this obligation of jihad is not compulsory. Similarly will be the rule of Hajj. Now you come to this aspect, the spirit of deen, you know, talk of ihsan, and the very spirit of deen, the consciousness and the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is like the very essence of deen. That's the very essence of deen. If that essence is lost from a madrasa, then that madrasa is dead. There isn't the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there isn't the consciousness and awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then any institute, a madrasa is just an example, but if any institute doesn't have that consciousness, the awareness of Allah ta'ala, then it is a dead body. A business doesn't have it, then it's a dead body. That's the life wire that is carrying you, that consciousness, that awareness of Allah ta'ala. A female customer walks into your shop, right? Now, what stops you from admiring that woman? If there is no fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there isn't the consciousness and the awareness of Allah ta'ala, does anything stop you from admiring her, talking to her unnecessarily, or starting off a conversation with her just to admire her and just to cheer up and become a little bit happy? Is there anything that will stop you? There's nothing that stops you. Nothing that stops you. It's just the fear of Allah Ta'ala. So now the fear of Allah Ta'ala is the very essence, the very, very base, it's the very essence, it's the very life wire. If that is gone, then everything has collapsed. This month of Ramadan, we're all fasting, right? Now we don't have the consciousness and the awareness, the presence of Allah Ta'ala. Does it prevent any of us to drink some water or something quietly? What will prevent us? We don't have the consciousness, the awareness of Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala is watching, He is omnipresent, He is watching us. We don't have that consciousness, we don't have that awareness. So is there anything preventing us from drinking water or eating in the quiet? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It is just the fear of Allah Ta'ala that is enabling us to accomplish this obligation, this fast. And the same will apply to every other obligation. Every other obligation, this is the cornerstone of life, that is the fear of Allah Ta'ala, the awareness of Allah Ta'ala, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will motivate. That will drive you, that will motivate you, that will be the life wire in every work of yours. So now, for everything else, right, when the structures began to collapse, you needed an alternate, right, to be able to accomplish that obligation. Like I said, horseback or camelback, and that means was no longer effective. So there is an alternate, and you accomplish the task in that alternate, with that alternate. Nobody says now that, you know, to adopt the different mode of transport in order to accomplish the safar of Hajj is haram, is bidat. Does anybody say that? It's not bidat. Say, no, but the Muslims time they weren't using this, using it now. So it's haram, it's bidat. Can anybody say that? Can't say that. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they were using sword and they were using spear, arrows, etc. So now, if you're using a rocket launcher or a missile, it will be haram, it will be that because it wasn't used in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. No. That was just a means. The goal was to defeat the enemy, to break down the enemy. So that was the means to break the enemy down. Now you need alternate means to break that enemy. The goal is the same. Just that the means that have been adopted is different. Now, in the time of Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to acquire this fear of Allah Ta'ala, this love of Allah Ta'ala, this awareness and consciousness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, was the august, mubarak presence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One has received the presence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, everything is done for him. Everything, he's got the required amount of love, he's got the required amount of fear. He's got the required amount of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's got the required amount of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, that when deen began to spread, right, then there was a time a woman is traveling all alone from Yemen, coming to the Baytullah. She's not afraid of anybody. Nobody is even raising an eye to look at her. All alone she's coming. Perhaps it was an emergency. She had to travel with a mahram, right, with a man. But for some reason she couldn't do it. But she's traveling right from Hazaramut, right to Makkah, Mukarramah, all alone, not fearing anybody. Now what is it? It is the consequence of the fear of Allah Ta'ala. The consciousness and the awareness of Allah Ta'ala, the love of Allah Ta'ala, that they cannot betray this. Right? And this was acquired from the company of Rasulullah Paksim. They got it from the company of Rasulullah Paksim. Okay. So this is the very fabric of human life, of dini life. This is the fabric, that fear, consciousness, the awareness, that loyalty. Otherwise, loyalty and love and muhabbat and fear will be just in the dictionaries. There won't be any reality to this. One Englishman, he had sued his wife for being unloyal to him. So when she appeared in court, so she says, the judge, the jury, that, Your Honor, my husband is very, very ungrateful. He is very ungrateful. He is not understanding at all. He doesn't have any understanding. He talks about the 10 times that I had betrayed him. But what about the 100 times that I was loyal to him? The 100 times I was loyal to him, he doesn't talk about it. Only 10 times that I was unloyal to him, I was messing around with something else, some other person, he only talks about that. He doesn't talk about this. So now this is the definition of loyalty by them. Now is that acceptable? 10, 12 times that she was flirting around with someone else, she was moving around, that's acceptable in their society, in their community. Because they don't have the consciousness, they don't have the awareness of Allah Ta'ala. By us, that is not acceptable. Right? So all this will revolve around this one aspect, and that is the consciousness and the awareness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Okay? So it is a man that is in his shop, and he understands that, well, I haven't given him the right type of commodity. I promised to give him the right commodity. But after I have taken stock, I understood I gave him something that was defective. Now, it was a consignment of a million rand consignment. And he understands after he's taking stock that I have given something that was defective, and I didn't make it known to him. So he is sleepless. He is excited. He's uneasy until he finds the person and he makes it known to him that this consignment that I sold to you was defective. So you either cancel the sale or make some type of compensation for the defect that I have given you. Now what's propelled him, what's forced him to that end? It is the consciousness, that awareness of Allah Ta'ala, that I have made this mistake and I need to rectify this. Now all this again is from acquired from the presence, Mubarak presence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayh, he's come to a town and he needed to record something. He got a pen and he recorded it, and then that person went missing and he forgot about it. He returned to his hometown approximately 2000 kilometers away. Then did he realize that I had to return that pen. Now he's uneasy. Now imagine undertaking a journey in that zamana. It wasn't like undertaking a journey today. You need a horse, you need provision, and you need to stop in various manzils and stations on the road. 2,000 kilometers, you're traveling at an average of approximately 25 kilometers a day. or say maximum 30 kilometers a day. So how long it will take him to undertake the journey? So this fear, this consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, it forces him, no, you can't remain here. You have to undertake the journey of 2000 kilometers, go and search that person, return the pin, and then you will be at ease. Now, this was all acquired from the company of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But now Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is no more. But that spirit is required. That consciousness, that awareness is required. That fear, that love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is required. Otherwise, how are we going to carry on? How are you going to continue? There was the one structure, the structure is no more. When it's no more, then we'll have to look for an alternative to create that same type of spirit, that same type of awareness, that same type of feeling. So this whole effort that goes around in the Khanqah is like a compensation. It's a substitute to create that same feeling, feeling of fear, feeling of love, the feeling of motivation, driven. You hear about namaz, and the moment you hear the azan, and then you are forced, come what may, I don't want anything now. I just want to go and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيْتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ. Nothing would distract them. No trade, no merchandise, nothing distracts them. So this not being distracted is on account of that great fear, the consciousness that they've got. Now when that consciousness is no more, then that consciousness will have to be created. That was one means. That means is past now. That was one way. Now we'll have to look, the awliya ikram, buzurgan deen, ulama ikram will have to look for other means to create the same awareness, the same consciousness. Like I said, it was the sword, then was the rocket launcher, right? It was the horse, now it's the aeroplane. Now in that zamana, it was the company of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or the company of the Sahaba ikram, and they acquired it very, very easily. Now that is no longer present. But then we need to acquire the spirit. We definitely need to acquire the spirit. How do we acquire the spirit? So these mashayikh, Allah Ta'ala inspired their hearts. He had illuminated their hearts. And then they thought of ways, they devised ways. That you follow this program, right, under the guidance of a sheikh, under the guidance of some buzurgan deen and mashayikh, etc. Then you will find some consciousness in you. In your namaz, you will find consciousness. In your work, you will find some awareness. In whatever you are doing, you will find love, you will find muhabbat, you will find as though you're being driven in that end. You will find a fulfillment in your life. You know, in life, we look for fulfillment and achievement. So, without this, you feel a hollow within you. Without the love of Allah Ta'ala, without the fear of Allah Ta'ala, the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, as though life is carrying on, but there's no taste to life. Like you are eating that cake, but there is no sweetness in that cake. You are taking that honey, but there is no sweetness in that honey. Is there any need for you to eat that honey when there is no sweetness? You got that perfume without any fragrance. You got the perfume, but there is no fragrance in that. So is there any need for that to apply that type of a perfume? It's got no fragrance. So exactly the same here. This feeling of fear that I am answerable. Allah Ta'ala is going to question me about this. Do I have the required amount of love to meet Allah Ta'ala? If Allah Ta'ala calls me to His court now, that you have to leave now, do I have that love to go and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, leave the world completely and just go? End my life must end now, if Allah Ta'ala has commanded. Am I in that position that I'm looking forward to the journey? See? Do I have that required amount of love to meet my Creator, to leave this world and move on in that journey? Do I have that? So if I don't have that, then am I making any effort? And am I toiling? Am I struggling in that end or not? It's a reality. It goes without saying. We all believe in that we have to meet Allah Ta'ala. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We are going back to Him. But in order to go back to Him, do we have that required amount of love? Do we have that required, that ardent love to go and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Whereas the Quran Sharif says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. The believers' love for Allah Ta'ala is intense. It's intense. You've got the structure, you've got the knowledge, right? But the knowledge is half the obligation. The information is half. It's half the obligation. The other half is now you need the spirit, you need that fear. You need that fear. You need that motivation. You need that drive. You need that love. You need something to spur you up. And you got nothing to spur you up. But you got the information. Is that sufficient? You are practicing as a, say for example, you're practicing as an engineer. Right? So the education is half the job. The education and the science itself is half the job. And the other half is the money that comes with it. Now if someone has got just the science of engineering, and there is no promise of any wealth, nope. Is there anything to propel him? Is there anything to motivate him, push him across? Is there anything that's going to push him in that science? No, nothing. Because I'm going to do the work, I'm not going to get anything out of it. There's nothing that's pushing him, nothing to drive him. So he needs something to drive him. So he's driven with that wealth. Right? He's driven with that wealth. So you need that power to drive you. You need that steam to push you. And that steam that is going to push you is the love of Allah Ta'ala, the fear of Allah Ta'ala, the consciousness and the awareness of Allah Ta'ala. Like I say, in everything that is material, you want to do a business, but you're doing a business, but you know that there's no reward for you. Absolutely no reward. So is there anything that's going to drive you then? Then there's no value to life then. You will say there's no meaning to life, but there isn't a value, a proper value, then there is no meaning to life. That's what you will say. So the value to life comes when there is something that goes with it. So similarly, when we have that fear, that consciousness, and awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is a value to every deed that we are doing. Every work we are doing, we've got that consciousness. Otherwise, it will be like that incident Al-Mu'tami Sahib Rahmatullah has quoted, a guru and a chela. Guru is like a Hindu pandit. And chela is a student, right? Like how you have a sheikh and a murid. So them, they have a guru and a pandit. So both of them had entered one town. So the chela, the student, made out that here everything goes for just 1 rupee, 10 cents. Everything goes for 10 cents, anything. You want to buy gold also, 10 cents. And you want to buy a shoelace also, is 10 cents. Everything, anything you pick up is just for 10 cents. So when the student seen this, he says to his guru, hey, this is an excellent place to live, man. He says, mithais and everything only for 10 cents. You got about 1,000 rupees, is enough for us, man. So the guru says, these people don't have any value system. It's very, very risky to live amongst a people that don't have any value system. So the chela, he says, you know what, no man, we'll enjoy ourselves, so much of barfi and the food and the restaurants and everything that's going on here. And we've got some money with us, we've got quite a bit of money we've got. So let's live here. He persuaded and the guru is stopping him, but he's persuading and he's insisting, all right, let's stay here. Now, they put over the, they put up there, and both of them became nice and plump. Where they were thin, and now they became nice and fat and plump. One day, they came across a crowd. So curiosity had the better over them. They want to see what's going on. What's going on? So they see a court session that is going on. What's the court session? A thief had come to rob, right? And in the process of him robbing, he had to climb up a wall, right? So the wall had collapsed onto him and he died. So his family members, they sued the person whose wall it was, you know, whose wall it was. That wall fell onto our man, and our man had died. Talking of not American mentality. Exactly American, exactly. Look at the lawsuits there in America, exactly, no difference. That wall you people erected was not correctly erected, it fell on a former man, he died. So, life for life. So these people say, well, We didn't erect the well, we didn't erect that wall, it was the builder that erected it. So they summoned the builder. Builder Saab, you put up this wall here, and you didn't put it up correctly. As a result, it collapsed onto this man here, and he died. So, it was no fault of mine. It was the fault of the person that was pouring the water. He poured the water wrongly, right? And it was too much of water, less cement, so it was a weak mixture, and therefore this had to happen. Well, that person says, the person that was mixing the water, it was no fault of mine. Then whose fault it was? It was the fault of that woman whose jewelry was ringing, you see. That ringing jewelry excited that animal that was pouring the water, and it poured more water than was required. So they call that woman now. You know, your jewelry caused all this problem. See, American mentality. Yeah? So they call that woman. The woman says, well, it was no problem, no fault of mine. It was the jeweler who designed that bangle. He designed it in such a way that it was ringing. And that ringing sound caught the attention of that animal. That animal got excited, and this is what it resulted in. So they got hold of the jeweler. So now that it had to end some point, it had to end at some point, it ended at the jeweler. Now when it came to the jeweler got no story. He was the one that designed the jewelry. He got no excuse. So now they're trying to put that string over the jeweler's neck to try and execute him. And the jeweler is a thin person, so that thing is not fitting well. It's not fitting well. So they say, you know, we need to look for someone that is nice and plump and round, you see. So they found that Guru and the Chela, they're the right candidate for this thing here. They brought them, now they're putting them. So now the Chela is telling the Guru, "Ab jaan bachao, bhai, save me now." So Guru told him that, "I told you that you can't live amongst people who don't have a value system. They don't have a value system, how can you live with them?" So now whatever happened in the past, it happened now, but now save my life. It's all right. So they just made some mashura amongst themselves. Now there is a fight between the Guru and the Chela. Everybody seeing. So the court wants to know why they're fighting. What they're fighting over. So now we can't tell you what we're fighting over. You must tell us what you're fighting over. So the Guru says, "No, I just looked into the stars just now, and I found out, I just confirmed now, that anybody who's going to die in this moment is going to go straight to Jannat." You see? So the fight is now, who's going to die? The Guru says, "I want to die." And the Chela says, "I will die." So the court that was presiding over the whole case, they said, "If that's the case, let me die then." So if there isn't any system, if there's any system, this is how it ends up. You see? So what I'm saying is, when there is the consciousness, the awareness of Allah Ta'ala, that you're going to do this, this is the consequence, this is the reward, it motivates you. The love of Allah Ta'ala motivates. There's two things that motivates: fear or hope. Those are the two things, the two tools that motivates. And minus this, there's nothing to motivate. What's going to motivate? What's going to drive you in that end? It's either hope or it's either fear. These are the two things that motivate. The Shaykh has written these kitabs here for to motivate. You do this and this is the reward. You don't do this, this is the punishment. You do this, this is the reward. You don't do this, this is the punishment. So, for humanity to go on to a cause, you definitely need that. Otherwise, how are you going to motivate? If there is no law and order in this country, right? Will there be any system here? That you do this, you commit this crime, then you're going to go to, you languish in prison for so many years. So this will keep you on check. It will keep you on the cause. But there is no system. See? Will it be enjoyable living out here? Not enjoyable. So you need to have a system. You need to have some fear, some hope. Some fear, some hope that keeps you onto the cause. So this fear of Allah Ta'ala and the hope and the love in Allah Ta'ala, this is so imperative, like that wealth. That engineer says, I say, and if he is not promised any wealth for the work that he's going to accomplish, is there anything that is going to spur him up, move him to that work? Nothing. I'm going to do this work, I'm not going to get rewarded. So why must I go, why must I kill myself? Why must I go under so much of pain and difficulty? So he needs something to motivate him. Similarly, man requires something to motivate, something to spur. And this is that awareness of Allah Ta'ala, that muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, that love of Allah Ta'ala, that fear of Allah Ta'ala, that's going to motivate him. When he's going to motivate him, the structures will be right. When the structures is right, then you'll find that this aspect of deen, this important aspect of deen, that is ihsan, awareness, fear of Allah Ta'ala, consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, that will be acquired. And when that is acquired, then alhamdulillah, then deen will be like natural. I have to perform namaz, yes, I have to perform it, but I don't need to ask any questions. Now I must perform namaz, why must I perform with jamaat? And why must I perform four rakats? And why this and why that? That is because of the weakness of the fear of Allah. They don't have that required amount of the fear of Allah Ta'ala, the love, the understanding, the greatness of Allah Ta'ala at heart. You don't have that. Because of the weakness of that, then you find people behaving in this manner. But if you've got that, then there is no question that is asked. No, the command of Allah Ta'ala, let it happen. I have to do it for His love, for His fear. I need to do it. And let me do it. I don't need any explanations further to this.